In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My brethren, the love of Christ for us should always be in front of our eyes. We need to have engraved in our hearts all the sufferings that our blessed Lord embraced in order to redeem us. You see, even after his glorious resurrection, our Lord Jesus Christ wanted to keep his wounds. We can see in his hands, in his feet, in his heart. Even in the glory of heaven, the marks of what he suffered for us will forever be in front of our eyes. More than pain, these wounds recall the immense love of Jesus Christ for each one of us. If he suffered, if he was wounded, it was to heal you and me. This was the price, and he paid it. He gave his life so we may have life, everlasting life. But we know that for us, it's not so easy. We fear the cross. We fear pain. We fear suffering. So many times we want the glory of Christ without his passion and death. We would like to celebrate Easter without have gone through Lent. Yes, it is difficult to accept the reality of suffering, even in a natural level. And what is even more difficult is to understand that this was the way by which God wanted to save the world, through the sufferings of his only begotten Son. And it was difficult for the apostles themselves. The suffering Christ was betrayed by Judas, denied by Peter, and forsaken by all. Where was Thomas, who said he would die with the Lord? Where was Andrew, James, Matthew, and the others? No one was there. Afraid, they were watching from afar. The only one who was strong enough to follow our Lord to the Calvary was Saint John. He was the only apostle to climb the mountain and to stay close to his master until the end. He, the youngest of the apostles, the weakest, became the strongest. And I tell you that it was not his natural courage that made him so fearless in these difficult moments. No, that was not natural, but supernatural. So where did he find this courage, this strength, this love? What was the secret of Saint John? My brethren, on that blessed night, the last one before his death, our Lord Jesus Christ celebrated the first Mass, and he gave his own body and blood to his apostles. Each one of them received the most holy sacrament. And we see Judas, who right after having received the Holy Communion unworthily, runs away from the presence of our Lord like a thief. We see Saint Peter and the others, curious, about what was going on, worried about so many things. And we see Saint John, who after having received the Holy Communion, chastely dares to repose his head on the heart of our Lord. And it was there, in the heart of Jesus, that he found the strength and the courage to follow the Master until the end. Saint John was the only one who cared about his thanksgiving after communion. The other ones were too busy with other things. And that's why they fell. The secret of Saint John, my brethren, was a fervent Holy Communion. We need to understand that it's not only about receiving Holy Communion, but we have to receive it well. It's not about the quantity, but about quality. One single Holy Communion would be enough to sanctify us. One single Holy Communion would be enough if we knew how to receive it well. It should make us think seriously about the way we approach the most holy sacrament. All this situation today, which separates the faithful from the sacraments, can be seen as a chastisement permitted by God in order to teach us something. And I think that one of the lessons to learn is the proper care towards the Blessed Eucharist. How many abuses, how many sacrileges committed against the Son of God in this sacrament? And how many times we ourselves may have come to the altar without the proper dispositions. So we should take this punishment as an invitation to reflect about the high price of the sacraments, especially Holy Mass and Holy Communion. And we have to make a resolution to approach this sacrament always in the right way, with the right dispositions. And in order to make a good communion, the Church asks from us three things. The first one is to be in a state of grace. It means that if we know that we have committed a grave sin, we must go to confession before going to communion. We have to clean the house first before receiving the Lord. Otherwise, our communion would become a sacrilege, a crime against God Himself. It would not be pleasing to God, and instead of salvation, we would be receiving our own condemnation. So the first thing is to be in state of grace. The second thing the Church requires from us is the Eucharistic fasting. So we needed to prepare not only our souls, but also our bodies, in order to receive the Lord well. For many centuries, the proper preparation of the body for receiving Holy Communion consisted in not having any food or drink beginning at midnight, in such a way that the Blessed Sacrament would be the first nourishment entering our mouth. This is known as the Midnight Fast. Already in the 4th century, Saint Augustine talks about that, and he says, it is a practice coming from the apostles themselves. Very recently, it was in the 50s, Pope Pius XII reduced the Eucharistic fast to 3 hours. In the cases that Holy Communion would take place in later hours of the day. And finally, Pope Paul VI, during the Vatican II, reduced the Eucharistic fast to 1 hour before Holy Communion. So the law today requires the minimum of 1 hour, at least 1 hour. However, we are invited to do a little more in this regard. If possible, to have the Most Holy Sacrament as the first food entering our mouth. So the second thing that the Church requires is the proper Eucharistic fast. And the third requirement, in order to make a good communion, and perhaps this is the most forgotten one, is the devotion that we needed to have. It means that we needed to prepare ourselves before receiving our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. And also we needed to make a proper thanksgiving afterwards. It's so sad to see people leaving the church right after the end of Mass without thanksgiving. Just like Judas. Or others are always looking around, curious, worried about so many things, just like Peter and the others. But we have to imitate St. John, my brethren. We have to imitate St. John. Because it is during our thanksgiving that we can, like the beloved apostle, we can repose our heads on the heart of Jesus Christ and receive all the strength we need to repose in Him and let Him repose in us. This is a foretaste of heaven. So let us not waste these precious moments after Holy Communion, which are the most important moments of our lives. So if we want to be faithful to God in the midst of all the storms of this life, we have to look for the strength in the Blessed Sacrament. It was the source of strength for St. John, and it will be the source of strength for us as well. So, my brethren, let us pray that the situation preventing the faithful to approach the sacraments will soon be over, so we may all meet Christ again in the Blessed Eucharist. But now, with more love, with more respect, with more devotion. You know that sometimes things are taken away from us so we may realize their value. So let us pray that we all may realize the infinite value of this great sacrament and desire it with all our hearts. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.